It's been a hot weekend, and I'm sitting here in the studio in my baggy shorts, string vest and knotted handkerchief, and opposite me, looking elegant and cool, ready for tennis, is Laura. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, John. I'm not sure I'm quite ready for tennis, but there we go. I'm feeling cool at the moment, but I don't think the temperatures are supposed to be as hot today, are they?
No, that's why I've put on a short sleeve shirt and everything, you know, that I can enjoy the ice.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I looked at your website this morning, and you've asked a question. Have you ever found yourself lost in the chaos of life's twists and turns? Do you feel overwhelmed by the constant changes and uncertainties that come your way? In the face of these challenges, how can you maintain a sense of control and direction? Well, you've asked the question. Let's see if you can answer it.
Well, here's one I prepared earlier. Yeah, it is possible. For me, the key was in discovering what I call the personal master plan. Now, that sounds very grand.
Well, the only master plan I've ever heard of is the Dalek master plan, but we won't go there.
That's one I haven't heard of.
But, before your time, obviously.
Well, I don't know whether the Daleks are, but I don't know whether that particular plan I've heard of before. But so what is a personal master plan? Ultimately, for me, it's about a direction of travel in which I personally want to go in, so that I can effectively lead my life rather than be led by my life. And it really came out for me personally 7 years ago when my life imploded and I lost my husband, my health and my career in quick succession. And back then, I was desperate not to return to what I call the unhelpful coping strategies of the past, the eating disorders, the associated addictions, the working harder, the doing more, because distraction, being busy, all the rest of it, wasn't going to work this time. I had to build something up, effectively from nothing. Because as the story goes, my then five-year-old nephew says to me, Auntie Lollipops, a.k.a. me, now that Uncle Chris is dead, you have nothing. They say out of the mouths of babes. And so there I was, literally, not too far off the truth, confronted with nothing. And so how could I move forward in this world that was still coming thick and fast at me from a position of nothing, not wanting to, you know, go back to all of those unhelpful strategies?
But it, so, wasn't nothing. It was total chaos, wasn't it, really?
Well, so, absolutely. I mean, you know, I was looking at basically loads of pieces of my life, and that, you know, how on earth was I going to create a life out of all of these chaotic pieces? I didn't know where I was going to, you know, where was I going with my career that I'd invested sort of 20 odd years into. I mean, nothing. Where was I going to earn money from? Where was I, you know, there were so many questions. It was just, you know, I refer to it now as being like a storm in a teacup, because it was so small, because suddenly all the world of opportunities and possibilities had gone from loads and loads and loads of things to almost nothing. And it just felt like this chaotic mess around me, without any clarity to be able to take a step forward out of my teacup. And of course, you know, the teacup is also a storm inside it, but it's also sitting on top of a stormy sea, which I have no control over either. And so for me, I had to find some way that I could put a stake in the ground, as it were, to anchor myself, you know, sort of throw the anchor over the side of the ship to hold myself down, because otherwise I feared I would get taken away by the sea, by my teacup. And that stake in the ground became my master plan. And I drew on the two skills that I felt I had, which was myself, because I realized I actually wasn't nothing, and my ability to business plan, because, you know, I'd spent 20-odd years in corporate change and business transformation. So amalgamating those two, and as I say, realizing I am not nothing, I created my personal master plan, which is affectionately called Project Me.
Right. Now, we're going to come back to Project Me after we've had... You're listening to West Kent Today on 95.5, 106.7 FM, online on your smart speaker. I'm John Butt, and with me this morning is Laura Toop, and we're talking about Project Me. Okay, that sounds intriguing. What is your definition of Project Me?
Project Me, ultimately, is a personal master plan. It is my guiding light, direction of travel, my rebalancing, rebuilding, reigniting my life, I guess, in short. It is, as I shared just before we went to the music, it is what has enabled me to take control of an uncontrollable world and move through effectively a huge amount of chaos and uncertainty that happened in my life 8 years ago that was completely beyond my control, and which was the loss of my husband, my health, and my career in quick succession. And what it gave me was renewed purpose, meaning, as I say, a direction of travel, because literally I felt like I was in a storm in a teacup on the high seas.
Right. So how do you go about sorting out Project Me?
So Project Me, ultimately, you know, the first stage is actually just grounding and getting to grips with now. Where are you now? And there are three A's: acknowledge, because you have to know where you are to know where you're going to act. Act, attain. So they are the three A's, and six baseline questions to ask yourself. Where are you now? How are you feeling? How do you want to feel? What action can you take to get what you want to feel? What might stop you, and what support can you get? It's literally those six questions. Nothing more, nothing less.
So that Project Me does involve using the gifts and talents and friendships of others.
Yeah, ultimately, it is up to you what you decide is the support you need. So, for example, let me think of something that people will resonate with. But, you know, very much community and connection is a very big part of the support program that you need in order to be able to deliver something like a personal master plan. And it's very much what I've done with Project Me. But obviously it allows you to filter as to where you're going to seek that support from. You know, for me, for example, when I started to redefine my career and what I was going to do next, I needed the support of somebody who had done it before, as it were, something I call a torchbearer. So I sought out people because I wanted to head into a completely different field, a field of coaching and supporting others, an area that, whilst I'd done it in a corporate world, I hadn't done it in a personal development space previously. So I sought out those who had done it, who'd gone before, to be able to learn from their experiences. What more could they tell me? What pitfalls might happen? And in that way, I was able to speed up my journey by seeking the support of others. Equally then, you know, as part of Project Me, I made a decision to move down from Hertfordshire to Kent, a county I didn't know, to a town in Tunbridge Wells I didn't know either. So again, you know, I knew that being on my own, I needed the support of a local community. I didn't necessarily know anybody in the street. So I basically held an open house obviously this was pre-pandemic, I got to know other people in the street, and I said, look, I'm setting up a WhatsApp group for the street, are you interested? Because I knew, being on my own with no children, I needed the support of others. I mean, what happened if I got locked out? Who would I speak to, for example, you know? And, you know, it's not always appropriate to leave a key in case you get yourself locked out. So in that way, you know, here we are, what, now almost 5 years on since I moved to Tunbridge Wells. And, you know, the WhatsApp group, for example, came into its own through the pandemic in being able to support people. And that's just how it grew. But that initially started from me recognising that where I was feeling quite isolated. What I wanted to feel was connected. What action could I take? Well, the action I could take was to get to know some of my neighbours, and that what support would I need? Well, okay, there's a certain level of stuff I can do myself, but, you know, let's create, you know, an open house so that I can get to meet others. And what support do I need? Well, they supported me in being part of that WhatsApp group. And that's how you can get to grips with now in order to be able to take the next stage.
Right. I'm going to take a specific example now. For, okay. Interest rates have risen.
Mm-hmm.
People are finding it difficult. Many people are getting frustrated and upset because they can't afford to live.
Mm-hmm.
So the debt crisis,
yeah,
is rising. So that's a big storm.
It is a big storm.
So taking your three principles,
mm-hmm,
let's start at the very beginning. I find myself in debt and I don't know which way to turn. What am I going to do?
Okay, so the first bit is really getting to understand where you are with your debt and how, you know, what are the outgoings? What are you feeling about it? What you are feeling about it, not what everybody else is feeling about it. What do you want to feel about it? When I say what action, that is because you've looked at your budget, for example, looked at where your outgoings are, where can savings be made, where cost reductions can be. Do you need everything? You know, it's hard, without actually going through a specific, yeah, you know, details of numbers, it would be hard to do, but the process is still the same. The support you can get, I mean, there is, I think pretty much every bank out there now has got some kind of telephone answering stroke, go into a bank to have a conversation about how you can better manage that debt. But unless you're prepared to have that conversation, you're not going to know what your options are. You've then got things like citizens' advice. You've then got independent advisors. You have the internet. There are lots of ways that you can, because it's all about bridging the gap. It's the fear is all associated with you don't know how to manage the debt. So you are holding the debt at the moment. And all you're trying to do with these six questions is bridge the gap and make that gap smaller to reduce the fear and the anxiety and the stress between the debt and where you stand. And that is done by seeking answers to these questions.
So the action plan works.
Yep.
But it's actually making that first step and saying, hey, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
How
definitely.
Do I manage? And, you know, what can... I know people who are really cut back and are saying... Yep. I can't manage. And so going to a debt counselling service will be very good because they will actually work in negotiating with your bank or building society.
Absolutely.
Credit cards and whatever. So let's make this manageable.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you have to understand, John, the way I got to this master plan has come from 20 years worth working in corporate change and transformation in how to deal in business with uncertainty, change, transformation. Effectively, chaos happens as a part of any big change process. And so it's quite structured. But actually, when you're in the midst of chaos, you need simplicity, you need a structure, because that is what's going to ground you in order to be able to take steps. It's like peeling back the layers of, you know, an onion almost, where, you know, you'll eventually get to the nub of it, of what next step is. But that's by asking a series of questions.
Looking at your LinkedIn page in front of me, one respondent has said, in response to take control in an uncontrollable world, he feels it is possible to succeed at chaos and thrive.
Yes.
It's almost contradictory in terms, isn't it? How can you succeed at chaos? Or is it succeed at dealing with chaos?
And it was a really interesting one, because I know, you know, that particular statement came from a guy who is the CEO of a CIC, a community interest group. Well, it's not.
Whatever. Yeah.
I can't remember what the second C is, but anyway, that it's effectively what it is. They changed it. It used to be a community interest group, but a guy called Paul Defoy. And the company's called Investors for People. So they've done huge amounts of research work with lots and lots of people. And it's not so much that succeeding at chaos as such. It's more about the chaos is not going to go away. It is going to stay. In fact, it's probably going to get faster, because we are, you know, with AI, with artificial intelligence, with the rate of, climate changes, all of the rest, that is not going to slow down. It will just get faster. So therefore, the only way to succeed at chaos is to thrive is to be fully grounded in oneself and to really understand what I call brand me, which is effectively three questions. Who am I now? What matters most to me? And how do I want to feel? Because whatever drives us, those three questions and our brand me is the thing that is going to steady the teacup.
Right, with me is Laura Toop. We're talking about Project Me and making our own brand. Now, let's take it forward.
So, yeah, making our own brand. Well, before we broke for the music, I shared the idea of brand me. There's a famous phrase or quote that says, effectively, that we need to belong in our own skin because ultimately everybody else is taken. And I think that's very true. We can spend so much of our time trying to be everybody else or to fit in that we lose sight of ourselves. And, you know, one of the common questions I ask in the work I do with people is, you know, so who are you? And they go, well, I'm a mother and I'm a this or I'm a that. And I'm like, no, but who are you? Who at the very essence of are
not
you?
Not your role, but yeah, who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's something I call brand me. And it really is, you know, two things ultimately, and that is, you know, the real essence of who you are and what matters most to you in any one moment. And so, you know, my brand me, for example, I know I love to have a window into somebody else's world so that I can learn, I can explore, I can understand more about other people, to grow myself, but also just to learn and to be more connected with other people. That's part of the very essence of who I am. That's not got a label to it. It hasn't got a role to it. What matters most to me are things like connecting with people, being inspired by others, being motivated by others, being part of a community. That is the very essence of what I am about, and that drives every single thing I do. And, you know, I can be sitting there and I can go, why did I do that? And I'll go, oh, because I hold these values very high, so I will always prioritize people. Why do I say that? It's because once you understand the very essence of who you are and become grounded in that, by which I mean really acknowledge and accept that rather than trying to be something that you are not. And trust me, I spent many years trying to be something I was not, which just caused me great discomfort and, unsurprisingly, a severe eating disorder at the time. But once I had acknowledged who I was, what mattered most to me, and how I wanted to feel, not how other people wanted me to feel, I felt so much more grounded and solid in the decisions I made for myself, because I knew what was driving me and I knew what mattered most to me. So let me give you, you know, a very real example of this in motion. And so, you know, despite Project Me, I had a direction of travel, well, as part of Project Me, should I say, I had a direction of travel for my house to renovate it into a home. I wanted this calm oasis away from the business of the outside world, filled with family, friends and flowers. So needless to say, when the builder then says to me, "Laura, I'm really sorry, I can't carry on the job, I'm bankrupt," just as he's completely gutted my house, knocked out the back wall, and, oh, by the way, you know that 30 grand that you thought had bought windows and a glass conservatory? Yes, well, it's effectively missing in action. So most people at that point would probably go absolutely to pieces, but I didn't actually shout, I didn't scream. I did take a sharp intake of breath, I'll give you that. But I went back to my baseline six questions, and I went back to Project Me and what I wanted. And as I say, I still wanted that calm oasis. What mattered most to me was, and this is another one of my very highly held values, is that of communication. The fact that he had come to me and honestly communicated to me that he was bankrupt, rather than doing a runner, that was very, very important to me. And I still needed a house. He still needed some work. I just had to find a way to make it work. So because those values were very important to me and I still had the direction of travel, was I going to get it in quite the way I, or realize it in quite the way I'd hoped for? No. But that's the thing, is once we are grounded in ourselves, what matters most to us, the what hasn't changed. So I still got that calm oasis. It's just the how needs to change. And so we found a different way to work together. I became project manager extraordinaire. And ultimately, the house was finished. I recouped the vast majority of the 30 grand that was missing, and moved back in. He was able to have sufficient funds to be able to keep going to support his family, because where else was he going to get work from at that drop of a hat in that moment? So all that was really changed in that moment was how I was going to achieve it. But because I was grounded in myself, I didn't get lost in the maelstrom of the emotions and the chaos that, you know, could have ensued had I not been very, very clear about myself and what Project Me and the direction of travel I had within Project Me for my home was.
So, you know, I mentioned it could be selfish just to be Project Me, but that Project Me was also Project Builder's Welfare.
Yeah.
So it had its effect on others.
Absolutely.
So wanting the best for yourself is also wanting the best for others.
Without a doubt, there is a, you know, beautiful analogy that says, you know, we always say, oh, it's selfish to think of ourselves, but there's a beautiful analogy that says the heart must beat first before it can pump blood around to the organs, i.e., we have to nurture ourselves first and be clear in what we are about before we can nurture others. But because of the strength of me, my brand me, how I've nurtured that, I was in this space to be able to extend to another, to be able to support them and make sure that they were okay too. And that really matters to me.
So that wasn't a one-off, was it?
No. It's happened several times. Not necessarily quite so spectacularly, though. I'm trying to think of sort of other sort of more day-to-day examples. But I guess for me, it's so many opportunities have come my way over the last 7 years since creating Project Me, by literally setting this whole direction of travel versus being grounded in myself and allowing the how to evolve. I haven't, this sort of broad timelines, but I have, I'm not saying in 6 months' time I must have achieved this, because
that's very important.
It is very important.
And don't set unrealistic targets.
We're fabulous at setting long-term targets. You know, in 10 years' time, I want to be here. When it comes down to the day-to-day stuff, forget it. We can never predict, you know, what's coming forward. And one of the things that I'm constantly telling clients to look at is, okay, so don't set yourself major things to do in any one day, any one week, that are like more than one major thing a day, three things total a day. But look at what's stopping you achieving them, to start noticing what are the curveballs coming in, where is your time being taken away. And then if your time is being taken away on something that's not allowing you to go in the direction of trouble and you don't want it to be dragged off in that direction, change it.
Very good. Now, we've got a few minutes left. So how can people contact you?
How can people contact me? They can find me on my website, which is www.laura-toop, which is spelled T for Tommy, double O, P for Peter, .com. Otherwise, they can find me on LinkedIn, same again, Laura Toop, or they can find me on Facebook. I am on Instagram, but I think it's more like a token gesture on Instagram. But LinkedIn and website is probably the best.
So they can contact you by going to look on Facebook, yep, and find Laura Toop.
They can indeed.
And they'll find one of those magnificent, beautiful pictures of you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Right. So, next month.
Next month, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about that already. Yes. Any thoughts?
Any thoughts? Well, it might be a continuation of the theme.
And it could be, yeah.
Because ultimately, I guess what a personal master plan is and what Project Me is really about is resilience. You know, and now more than ever, we need those tools, those stories, those that understanding about how we can be more resilient in a world that, you know, is becoming sadly more and more uncontrollable.
Definitely. Just look at the news over the weekend.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Case in point.
Yeah. Now, if you've got a question for Laura or you want her to help you with your own Project Me, you can email me at studio@westkentradio.co.uk. If you've got questions, we can put them towards Laura next time. I'll forward them to her, so she's got a bit of advance notice. But I like throwing her in the deep end.
I was going to say advance notice, what? That you tell me as I arrive in the studio.
Well, that's the spontaneity of radio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So, and if you want to hear any parts of our interview with Laura today, it will be on our website, hopefully later this afternoon. It depends how the cricket's doing.